Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, the end of the year scramble. Number two, how Republicans are thinking about woke capitalism. And number three, it's finally here, the Georgia runoff. All right, Jake, let's get into it. It's comes about at basically every single year this time of year where Washington has to do things, right? And it has to move, and they never do it faster than people want them to do. I think that we're calling it in this morning's Punchbowl News AM. It's time for the quote-unquote biennial December freakout.
Yes, including reporters who are looking to for a Christmas break. Well, there's actually reason for concern. Brez asked me this morning whether I think they're going to get all this done, and I think the odds are still probably yes. But let's just quickly talk about where the two big issues are: government funding and the NDAA. Government funding is nowhere. The two sides are billions of dollars apart. No top line number yet. And the speakers, Nancy Pelosi and the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, met yesterday. The Democratic caucus, all the parties will meet today in different sessions. Biden had lunch. Joe Biden, the president, that person, had lunch with Pat Leahy and Richard Shelby, two old Senate colleagues who are the top two lawmakers on appropriations. They're retiring at the end of this year. The government runs out of money in 10 days, December 16th, also my birthday, 25 once again. And, once the top line is released, it's going to take a week in the Senate, days in the House. So we are, there's only 31 days in December, and four of those days Fish is playing at Madison Square Garden. So we can't mess with the important things here, Anna.
A lot of fun facts by Jake Sherman, his birthday, Fish, just bringing you all the news you need to know today, folks.
Yes. And the NDAA also coming up, the Pentagon policy bill, is now kind of hooked up or mixed up on some of these add-ons. The Safe Banking Bill, which we've reported on, allows banks to handle cannabis-related transactions. The Journalism Competition and Preservation Act, which is a basically allows journalism entities to collectively bargain for pay from social media networks, essentially. Joe Manchin's permitting reform bill. This is something he's been pushing for months. Canceling the vaccine mandate for the military. Also in the mix, which I have to add to the newsletter because it's not there right now, is what's going to happen with the ECA, the Electoral Count Act, this big push, bipartisan push to get a reform of the national election laws. So, I mean, lots of stuff here, Anna. Are you still the optimist here?
I'm just continuing to be optimistic. I feel realistic. We'll see. I mean, I think what's interesting here is to your point, right? You went just ticked through a slew of things. There's a few must pass pieces of legislation, right? The NDAA has passed for the past six decades every year. And so when you have the one or two things that have to get done, there's a bunch of things that kind of try to tag along, right? Safe banking, whether you have the ECA, a lot of things that, you know, people are going to want to try to attach to these bills, because this is the last kind of, you know, rodeo here before the end of the year, before the new Congress. Not everything's going to get in, right? I mean, that's just the facts. And so the question's going to be not only how much time is there for the NDAA, how much time is there for a potential Omni. I mean, as much as time is the enemy here, the Senate can move fast when it wants to move fast. And there is a lot of reason for both Republicans and Democrats to come together here on an Omni, right? They do not want to have House Republicans do not want to have in leadership a short-term funding bill or a year-long CR. It causes a lot more problems for them going into their new, you know, fledgling majority. So I continue to be optimistic. I think, you know, if we don't have a top line number by Thursday, Friday, I think things get a little bit harder. But we'll see. I think it feels as though this is right now we're in the posture of kind of the freak out that happens every time, you know, we get to this point of the year.
Yeah. Listen, one thing I would say is that a short-term CR, a year-long CR probably benefits House Republicans. That's the only entity that I think it probably benefits, because that's probably the best option for them. But I agree with everything else you said. I mean, I think this is a, you know, the odds are that this gets done, but not by much. You know what I mean? I don't think by much. I mean, I agree that the odds are at this point, yes, but no, this is going to be a big crunch. And I mean, I've had people say we're going to be here right until December 31st. I'm not sure I agree with that. I don't know that we know yet, but it's taken a lot longer than people thought.
All right, let's move on to the number two item of the morning. Our very own Brendan Peterson has a great item. I really encourage you to read it about the inside the GOP playbook to attack woke finance in 2023. This has obviously been in the craw of Republicans, the effort as they see it, as some fund managers to go more into sustainable investing, into, you know, pushing investments into green investing. And now Brendan has the first look at a report from Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee, laying the groundwork for a campaign of intense scrutiny targeting at least three private asset managers during the next Congress. Those three, Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street. Going to be, I think one of the areas where we are expecting a lot of action when it comes to not only the Senate, but also certainly House Republicans as well.
Yeah, this shows, Anna, I think the Meta issue here, not Meta the company, the larger issue, is that this shows that no one's really safe here in a Republican in the current configuration, is the word I'm looking for, of Congress, right? I mean, this is Republicans going after large financial institutions. We didn't really have that on our bingo card 10 or 15 years ago. Many of these organizations are huge supporters of Republicans, and a lot of them thought, you know, a lot of people thought they were safe if Republicans took control. But this shows, to be honest with you, that some of these what people refer to as do-good elements of large corporations are going to come under huge scrutiny in both the Senate, where Republicans are in the minority, and the House, where Republicans are in the majority.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. All eyes on Georgia. Georgians are voting today in the Senate runoff election between incumbent Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock, the Democrat, and Republican Herschel Walker. You know, this has been one of those races that has been intense, has had a lot of twists and turns in terms of just the overall news cycle and the number of terrible stories that have been dogging Walker forever. You know, I was talking to some folks who've been down there last night, and it seems like conventional wisdom is that Republicans have kind of given up on Walker at this point. You know, Warnock ran narrowly ahead of Walker in the November general election, but it's an important race because it changes either the dynamics in the Senate to continue at that deadlocked 50-50 or 51-49, which gives them that true control over committees, Jake.
Yeah, tomorrow morning I think we're going to run down if Warnock wins, as many expect. We're going to examine what this win or loss means for the Senate and for control. It's not only that Joe Manchin matters less. I would argue he still matters a lot, but not as much, obviously, in a 51-49 Senate than a 50-50 Senate. But, you know, as you note, committees, they're going to have to do a new organizing resolution, which would mandate committee rules. I mean, things can't deadlock on partisan lines in committees if in a 51-49 Senate. That's just a whole new dynamic for for both the president and for the Senate majority going, the 51 seat Senate majority, the theoretical majority, which doesn't exist yet, going into 2023. So there's a lot at stake here.
All right. And just a reminder, both Jake and I are going to be interviewing Representative Jason Smith, the Republican from Missouri, tomorrow at 9 a.m. at the Roost on Capitol Hill about his priorities for the Ways and Means Committee. He is, of course, in a tight race to try and get the gavel for that powerful panel. It's our last in-person event of the year, so you can RSVP at our events hub to come join us in person or also watch virtually. Expect it to be a very newsy program. With that, thanks so much for listening. Leave us a rating and review. Share the Daily Punch. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also subscribe to our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.